from the book Proverbs. And I think you'll find as we go through this route, this particular camp, that there's plenty of words to the wise in this book. And my particular message tonight is the place of wisdom. So let's ask the question to start us off. Just how important is wisdom? Well, let's take our Bibles. Let's check out a few things real quick here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. That is a fact. And sometimes, if people aren't smart enough to understand that, they're in trouble, aren't they? They're going to be in big trouble. In Romans 6:23, God tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter how much Hollywood wants to decorate it up. It doesn't matter how much the world around us wants to ooh and ah and croon over sin and act like it's really something. The wages of sin is death. The devil would love for us to buy into the idea that some sin won't hurt you. But the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That's right. And then in the book of Proverbs, this particular fact is repeated a couple times. It's found in Proverbs 14:12. And it's found also in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way, what? That seems right to a man, but what? But it leads to death. You know, when I read those scriptures and think about them for a minute, I realize living is kind of scary, isn't it? If I make the wrong decisions in life, I'm done for. According to what we just read, I mean, I can die living in sin. I may have been great at covering my sin up, but the wages of sin is death. And there is a way that seems right to a man. A lot of people end up with ways that they think are right. It sure seems right. It feels good. It must be okay. But God says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, where's it leading? It's leading to death. God warns us of that. And then our Lord told us, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, not a bad spot to make sure we remember what our Lord Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7. Concerning religious people in verses 21 through 23. And we won't read all of that. You may know it. We'll read just verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And Jesus would go on to say there, with the people that were claiming to be so religious and knowing the Lord, Jesus would say, "Get away from me." What did he call them? "You evildoers. I don't know you." That's what Jesus said, well, it will be like in the end. And it was in chapter 7 that Jesus said in verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life." And what? Only a few find it. Only a few will find the way that leads to eternal life. It sounds to me like wisdom is pretty important. Wisdom, it seems like, is very important. A book to the wise, I think, is very much needed. Actually, the entire Word of God is very much needed. The gospel message we must have in order to be saved. But here is a book to make us wiser. Thank God for that. In fact, Paul, when he was making his defense against before Agrippa, recounting what Jesus told him he would be doing in Acts chapter 26, Jesus had told Paul that he would send Paul to the Gentiles. And in verse 18 it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Aren't you glad for that? Paul would take the gospel to the Gentiles. We would have a chance to be turned from darkness to light in our lives as we journey through life. We would have a chance to escape the power of Satan and turn to the power of God in our lives. We would have the opportunity to receive forgiveness of our sins that we are accountable for, but could have those sins forgiven when we turn to Jesus. We could have a place among the sanctified. What does that mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? Set apart. For whose use? God's use. You could say set apart to be holy then, couldn't you? Set apart for God Almighty's use. We have a place among the sanctified. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6, we read in verse 9, it says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Is that you tonight? Is that you? Huh? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Are you converted?
Yes, sir.
Been washed. Been sanctified, justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if I've been set apart for God's use, one thing you can count on, I want to know all of the wisdom of God I can get a hold of. I don't want to go around thinking I've got it all figured out. I want to know more. I've been set apart, excuse me, for whose use? For God Almighty's use. I'm not living now for some, I may still have to go to work for some boss, granted, but I'm living for my God. I've been set apart for Him to use me. Far be it from me to act like I've got it all figured out. In fact, before we go any further, I forgot to bring a pen with me when I got sitting down over here, and I wanted to add something to my notes. So before we go any further, I better say it before I forget it, all right? Let's have all of you that are 40 or under stand up. 40 and under. All right, that looks pretty good. Now you can sit down. The next question I ask isn't going to look as good as the first one. Those of you that are 41 and over, stand up. Now, we may not be quite as attractive, you know. We've okay, you can sit down. We've crossed the line. And I just figured out something the other day. I just realized that now I can congratulate myself. I am old. I am in the category of old people. Now, maybe I was before now, but I always kind of figured that when you hit 60, you're old. And it doesn't matter whether you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. I'll stop there because 100 does seem a little spatial there at 100. But between 60 and 90, you're all old. I just caught up with my mom and dad. I just caught up with my mother and father-in-law. I'm in the same category they're in. I mean, I didn't even go to Taco John's and get a senior discount. So this is great. And I still got enough teeth left to enjoy this discount. So that makes it even more wonderful. But the reason I ask the question is this. We've got a real problem in our country with people thinking they got it all figured out. We got a real problem with this. And in the church, we've got a really bad problem with it. We've got a terrible problem with those that are 40 and younger thinking that they can kind of discard what those that are their seniors in Christianity have stood for all the way through. That they no longer have to stand on that. That they figured out things that somehow a dad or grandpa or whoever it is couldn't figure it out. And they've got it figured out. That's kind of a ploy of the devil to get you to think you don't need any more wisdom. Sometimes we have a problem when we're over 40 thinking we don't need it either. We certainly can still have that problem. And when we're over 40, sometimes we can just plain kind of throw up our hands and say, forget it. And that's not good either. I mean, we're in a mess. We're in a terrible mess in the United States of America. A terrible, immoral mess is what we're in. And the church is having a real struggle. I mean, more and more and more people, we just had our little kids get up here and sing this song, and they said something about believing, and I wondered if it was going to stop there. And my wife reminded me, we sang this in our younger days, so that tells you something about me, I suppose. But anyway, they went on to say, repent and be baptized and live a holy life. And I thought, it's too bad everybody in the Lord's church can't remember that. Can't keep that straight. Can't realize that you've got to be baptized. First of all, you've got to turn from your sins, and then you've got to be baptized into the blood of Christ to get those sins washed away, and then you've been set apart to be holy, to live for God. I mean, that makes total sense. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity has never been to see how close to the devil you can play with him and still call yourself Christian. Christianity has never been for me to like any sin. No matter what it is. That's not Christianity. That's man's brand of Christianity. So how important is wisdom? I think it's important. And I think for sure that all of us here tonight, if we're converted, want to know more. Amen. We want to know more about what God and we want to have God's help. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 and verse 5. The end there says, the wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. The wise man wants to know more about the wisdom of God. In other words, Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. He loves the Word of God. He loves Bible sermons. He loves to be convicted. He loves to be stirred up. He loves to sit in classes and learn from Almighty God and His Word. Second thing I want to make sure we understand here is that, as we mentioned verse 5 just a second ago, but I want to read the verses around it. Verses 1 through 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline. By the way, with wisdom, there's a great need for discipline. It's not going to do you much good to know what God has to say if you're not doing it. And the doing it takes discipline. Young, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding Proverbs and thanks to the good old computer, you can find that there the word wise, the word wise in the book of Proverbs is used 60 times. The word wisdom is used 51 times. The word fools used 45 times. Fools 16 times. And foolish 9 times. That's quite a bit. Just using those words. So certainly the book of Proverbs going to help us out. And Don's put this camp together covering a lot of good subjects that we're going to hear this week to help us hear God's word in for our everyday living. A third thing I want to mention is this, found in Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to just maybe remind you of something that the book of Psalms says. Well, you're turning to Proverbs 3. We'll mention Psalms 33, verse 9, where it says, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. What are we talking about there? God Almighty doing what? Creating by speaking it into existence, is that correct? He spoke, and it came to be. And by the way, that was in verse 9. Connected to that particular verse would be verse 8, which says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. That gospel message is God's plan for the rest of the ages of mankind. It will not change. Man may change, but the gospel message won't. Will it? That's God's plan. But the Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord, revere the Lord. I'm really afraid that we have lived long enough with evolution in the background to mess some of us up. our reverence for our great God isn't what it should be.
We want to be very careful with that. In Proverbs 3, verse 19, it says, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew." And if you go back to, or go on down to chapter 8 of Proverbs, and we'll talk about this at least briefly here in a little bit if we have time. If I said that wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs, what do I mean? What do I mean by that? Wisdom is personified. Wisdom is made like a person, right? And so we see that here in this particular text in Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 22, we'll start reading there. "The Lord brought me forth," talking about wisdom, "as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began." In other words, way back when, even before the world was ever created, wisdom was there. The wisdom of God was there, wasn't it? God's great wisdom. Verse 24. "When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary above and fixed, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind." God used wisdom in making everything. God used wisdom. It's man. In fact, God tells us the fool says in his heart, there's what? There's no God. The fool says that. Not the wise man. The fool says there's no God. The maker of the Hubble telescope, which just had its, 20th anniversary the other day. And they've got some tremendous pictures you can see. And be amazed at what that telescope's doing as it circles out there in orbit. But the maker of that, in fact, all the things that they're seeing, all the things that they're finding, and even when IMAX picks it up, and you can sit and you can be enthralled and amazed at the wonder of it all. How many times has God mentioned it? Tragic. It's absolutely tragic that we live in a world that's we're supposed to be so wise. We're supposed to be so smart, and we can't even realize that it's God that spoke it all into existence by his vast, tremendous wisdom. It should fill us with awe and reverence to the point that we say, "Lord, here I am. I know I'm very small, I'm very insignificant, but Lord, you promised me that you'll use me. Here I am. Use me." I hope that you're not buying into any of that garbage that's called science today. Hope you're not buying into it. Some of us grew up thinking science was just about as factual as the Bible. I'll tell you something, science has really been messed up. And I hope if you're wanting to buy into a lot more of secular wisdom, I hope you can stop and have the intelligence enough to say, wait a minute. If man in his secular wisdom can't even admit there's a God, I'm going to be very careful with what man's telling me. Very careful. fourth thing I want to mention before we get into this sermon tonight is what we find in Romans chapter 1, where the Bible says in verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, what did they become? They became fools. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be wise. It's in the book of Proverbs. In fact, it's in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 11, that you would read this. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Those whose eyes are ever so haughty, whose glances are so disdainful. Those whose teeth are swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth, the needy from among mankind. Right there in that description of an ungodly people, you see people that are despising wisdom, cursing their fathers, not blessing their mothers. Right there, they've got real problems, don't they? When you don't have an honor for your parents, you've got a problem in the eyes of God. It's only God that said to honor your parents. And that honor for your parents, how long is it to last? Is it to last only until I'm 18? I mean, when I leave home, yeah, my parents aren't going to direct my life any longer. But am I to have an honor for my parents? In fact, does God tell me that I should be willing to take care of my parents when they get old? Yeah. Those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. That speaks of somebody that doesn't want too much wisdom. Those who are pure in their own eyes speaks of somebody that thinks they've got it figured out pretty good. Pure in their own eyes, but they're not right with God. And that those whose eyes are ever so haughty and glances are so disdainful, tell you what, that's foolish. To act like you're the greatest. I'm the greatest. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? In fact, stop and think about it for a minute tonight. As a wise nation, we say spanking is abuse. We say sex education needs to be given to prevent STDs and HIV. In fact, something really shook up the Montana people here about a week ago. This was July the 14th. Any of you hear about that? A few of you did. That's good because I can't read everything I've got copied out here because it wouldn't be fitting in our audience. But we had a move made for, this comes out of Helena, Montana, a 62-page draft proposal where we would begin, or where they would begin in kindergarten with school nurses teaching kindergartners the proper words to use for the sexual body parts. And if you want to look at this article, you're welcome to, and you can see the different words that they have that they were proposing to teach kindergartners. In this proposal, they were going to teach first graders that a man with a man or a woman with a woman was a totally acceptable way to live. First graders. 10-year-olds were going to be taught, and this is, I mean, all of it's sick. Going to be taught all the various ways for, and this is just me summing it up, all the various ways for sexual pleasure. And you can probably let your mind wander from what you know, and you'd be covering it. 10-year-olds. And here's what Dr. Bruce Messinger, the superintendent of Helena Public Schools, told Fox News. Quote, "As educators and as parents and as communities, we need to be more proactive in helping inform our students at an appropriate age what the risk factors are associated with their own behaviors so that they can make better decisions about their well-being," unquote. Now, I have to keep drinking because my mouth is just getting like cotton up here, and pretty soon you'd really see me puckered up trying to get something out. So you'll just have to put up with me snorting water every now and then to get a drink. Okay, now, you know, somebody not really listening or paying attention might say, "Oh, that sounds like a good idea." There was somebody that replied to this and gave this particular insight to what would be happening if this goes on to be passed. He said the sex teachings given to the 6 to 12-year-old students keep sexual impulses stirred up, disrupting sexual growth as well as personal and cultural achievements. So some of the things that would happen to these kids, it would make them less educatable. It would block the development of compassion. It would weaken the mental barriers controlling base sexual instincts, thereby making the child vulnerable to perversions as he grows up. Guys, the devil is not stopping at anything. When the devil got our country to kill unborn babies and people would end up and think, oh, there was a good reason for that, that could be acceptable, we can let that go, and we've let it go. The devil, if he's willing to do that to us, you can see what he's going to do to our 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10-year-old kids. I mean, he's out there to totally mess them up. And I want to tell you something, perversion is sick. It is absolutely, totally hideous. And I know there's going to be more said on some of this, so I don't want to go into it too far here tonight, but I just want you to realize that we do not live in a wise world. We live in a perverted, sick world. And we need to make sure we're awake and alert to that. It should drive us to our knees in prayer. It should drive us to God's Word for refreshment to our souls. And it should help us to say, "Lord, I don't know how I can do this, but you use me. Open my mouth. Fill my heart with compassion. And help me get out there and help somebody out of this mess. Help me to be a help to somebody. Help me to stop some of this stuff that's going on. Help me to get off of my seat and get something accomplished for the Lord." In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, we have wisdom personified. And it looks like we may have to just mention this about the being personified here and give you just a little bit of it. Down in chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. Then they will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." How much calamity has man brought on himself by refusing God's wisdom? Nikki's brought on some. The next question you might ask yourself is where? If he's brought on calamity upon himself, where's he done it? You know, we kind of got backed in a corner here a while back with any of us feeling like AIDS might be some of what we're talking about right here. You know, man, in refusing the wisdom of God and thinking that perversion's okay, may be reaping the fruits of his wickedness. That's one of the calamities that he may well have brought on himself, don't you think? I mean, if you behave yourself, in fact, this article I was just telling you about there in Montana, two middle school girls said, you know what, you could stop this problem with abstinence. They did throw that in the article. Well, what do you know? Read the Bible and you'd have that figured out. Folly is also personified in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9. By the way, you're going to be here a long time tonight because the first 9 chapters of Proverbs is my text. I'm just hitting a little bit of it so far, so we've got a long ways to go. But folly is personified in Proverbs chapter 9, and verse 13 says, "The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge." Do we have a lot of people like that running around? Totally undisciplined, and yet if you ask them something, they know it, don't they? And the Bible says they're without knowledge. They don't know it, but they sure think so. That's folly for you. He goes on to say there, she raises... wait a minute, let me get folly figured out here. This is in verse 14. She sets at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. And then, are you ready for one of the devil's greatest lies? You find it there in the next verse. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." This is folly talking. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So God says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." And then God goes on in Proverbs, if you back up to Proverbs chapter 2. There he says in verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In other words, you've got to want this. You've got to want this enough that you value it like you would silver or gold or hidden treasure. And boy, I tell you what, people can really get all concerned about those things, can't they? God says, you're going to have a desire for wisdom just like that. You're going to have to seek this out. You're going to have to pursue it. And then guess what? The Lord will help us out, won't he? You'll be able to find this wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, if we went on and read, we'll drop down to verse 12. "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse." By the way, those wicked men and wicked women can be in the church, by the way. They can call themselves Christians. We all understand that, don't we? Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. That could include those in the church. And from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thanks, Lord, for warning me. Thank you for warning me to get a hold of your wisdom so I can see the ungodly ways of wicked people so I don't get sucked into it. As I prepared this message, I thought about people. Some people have gotten sucked in to wicked ways that we've been trying to help. And you know what? Sometimes you sit there and you feel like weeping. Because these people, a young guy, haven't been able to make contact with him too much here lately. I was having Bible studies with this young man, 21-year-old young man. All messed up from the story he tells me, and I can only hear his side of the story. Him talking, nice-looking young man. A young man that totally, totally amazed me. Frenchie, you guys know Frenchie plays the drums. He told me about this young guy. He said, Jerry, this young man seems to know the Bible. So I called him up, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have somebody that's of the denominational world that thinks they know the Bible and some smart aleck, you know. And so I had him meet me at the church building for the first Bible study, and so I wasn't thinking the best about him. That probably wasn't the best thing for me to be thinking, but anyway, I sat down and I started to going over some scriptures with him as I started to study, and he would either tell me where the scripture was found or he'd tell me what it said. So I'm starting to scratch my head saying, wow, this guy knows the Bible fairly well. And continued on some Bible studies, and he knew a lot of scripture. Now, he didn't have the scripture figured out right, but he knew a lot of it. And he had been sitting in jail just a couple of years earlier, and somebody gave him a Bible. And in that 2-year period of time, he had more Bible learned in his head than probably a lot of us have. In 2 years. And this young man sat there. In fact, when I started working with him, he was sitting there with a bullet hole in his arm. And right around Christmas time last year, he had gotten out of prison. He had had somebody that rented him a place to live for a month or two. And he was talking to some guy that had bought some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Watch out if you buy Kentucky Fried Chicken. You might get a bullet hole in your arm. But anyway, had some Kentucky Fried Chicken, and this guy was drunk. And the story went that the guy ended up and thought the young man was going to steal something that he had, and this guy had a 9mm pistol. And so he followed this young man to his place that he was staying, knocked on the door. The young man came to open the door, and this drunk man had the pistol aimed at him. And so they got in a tussle, and they ended up on the floor, and the young guy got up, and he tried to make a break for the door, and as he grabbed the door to shut it, the guy started shooting, shot 3 times, and 1 time it went through his arm. And so there I'm sitting with a young man that got shot. But the young man, what he was in jail for, was hideous. It wasn't good. Not good at all. And there he sits. He can't go near a public school. He can't go near anywhere where kids are, and he's only 21 himself. Isn't that sad? Isn't it awful? Another guy ends up in we end up in and some more of our wisdom, we say we should pay those who won't work so they'll work. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Pay them that don't work so they'll work. Well, I had another guy, he's a little older, he's 51. And he's had all kinds of drug problems and booze problems. And he was off the drugs and he was off the booze. And he wanted to come to church and he wanted to study the Bible. And he had enough of his mind left to do electrical work. He was an electrician. And so this young man, what we call him, a middle-aged man? Not old yet, but he's middle-aged. He ended up and he needed help just to get out of community shelter. And then we got him out of community shelter. We got him into kind of a halfway house and was working with him there and got him to start paying his rent there. And he was having a little trouble controlling himself with some of the other guys. And so he was kind of getting in trouble there. So he ended up and got out of there. And we said, okay, listen, we will help you get in a place, rent a place, and we will control your money. This man actually... My wife and I really had quite a bit of money. We usually don't do that. Let this guy some money, pay his rent. We paid the rent for him. We didn't let him have the money because he probably would have never got the rent paid. But anyway, paid the rent for him. And then we took what money he did have. It wasn't a whole lot, but he was making some money working electrical jobs, odd jobs. And we took his money and we kept his money and we let him have it, treating him like a kid. 51-year-old man. This man ended up, and for about 2 months, he stayed in this rental place and seemed to be doing good. And I was telling him, you need to get to work. You need to get a regular job. Let's get out and get a regular job. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And so let's live by the Word of God. That's what you failed to do all of your life, is live by God's Word. Let's live by God's Word now. Do you want to do that? Yes, he said he did. But you know what I was battling against all that time? The wisdom of our country. This man had worked that for a few months, about a year ago, and he was drawing unemployment. And he was making, I couldn't believe this, he was making, and our good government that's in place right now, make sure this is extended for it, $400 a week doing nothing. $400 a week. And I'm sitting there telling him to go out here and get a minimum wage job and work 40 hours, and he's probably sitting there scratching his head saying, you dummy. Isn't that awful?
In our wisdom, we pay those who won't work so they'll work. Yeah, I'll try to get them to work. If you've got the answer, come to me tonight and we'll take you to Cheyenne. You can help us out with this guy. We live in a country that's really messed up. We will abort our babies to save lives. We have this saying, drink responsibly. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I've always thought that really made a lot of sense. Shack up to prepare for marriage. If you're young enough, you don't know what shacking up means. It means living together before you're married. Shack up to prepare for marriage and then divorce if shacking up fails. I mean, this is our country. All of its great wisdom. And God says, the Bible says, get a hold of God's wisdom. It'll save you from all of that garbage. It'll really, truly save you from it. And the man, the 51-year-old guy I was talking about, he'd be a whole lot better shape tonight if he was working. Even if he wasn't getting $800 every 2 weeks, he would still be in better shape. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll have to stop here in a minute, but Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, my son,
Pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and keep only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And then twice in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 15, and it's found also in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. The Bible there talks about nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Nothing you desire. So I don't know what you desire tonight. I hope you desire the things of God more than anything else. But God says nothing you desire can compare with the wisdom of God. So, Proverbs 4, verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I would hope tonight, as you go through the book of Proverbs, even as you listen and pay attention to the messages that are to follow, that you'll really be tuned in. We got some good messages coming up. Going to help us live as God's people. People that are sanctified, set apart for God's use. It'll all reflect the tremendous wisdom of God that's found here in the great book of Proverbs. We're going to sing a song of invitation tonight, number 98. It is so much, it's so much greater in life to look at the sparkle in the eyes of a person who has surrendered to Christ, who has turned away from sin, who has found the righteousness of God, that righteousness of God that's revealed through the gospel. They've found it. They've gotten a hold of Christianity. They're truly born again. It's so much more wonderful to be around people that are born again than those who are lost in sin. We are to be stirred up with this time of fellowship amongst us this week. But we're to listen carefully to the great words of God, because people right tonight are slowly plodding into eternity. The second convert in Cheyenne, a young man, he was only 64, passed away this last week. He had quit coming to church. He was going to a North Christian church there in Cheyenne. His wife smoked, didn't like us to continue to preach against smoking. They had left many years ago. And that man at the age of 64 is in eternity tonight. You know, we don't know where everybody ends up in eternity, but we do know one thing. Few there be that find the way to eternal life. And if people aren't dedicated to God and His Word, if we aren't sold out, it doesn't matter who we are, we will not be with God forever. If we don't love Him intensely, if we don't thrill with His Word, if you're here tonight and you've let the world get a hold of your heart and get a hold of your mind, you need to do some repenting. You need to get things straightened out. You're not guaranteed heaven if you don't love the Lord. I don't care if the people in the church think you're okay. God knows where you stand with Him. You can't fool Him. I can't fool Him. None of us can. This invitation's for us to make sure that we're right with our Lord. Make sure that our hearts are open wide to what we've got coming the rest of this week. Won't you let the Lord work in your heart and life as we stand and as we sing?